process of devotional service, what is most important? He replied, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So this is our life and soul, to chant Hare Krishna on our mala very religiously, attentively every day, to chant joyfully in kirtan with the assembled Vaishnavas and dance according to our body's capacity to dance. There's no restriction in dancing. A baby child can dance by kicking his or her legs. A young person can dance by gracefully dancing. Old person, we have seen Valmiki Muni in London. People were amazed how he was dancing and dancing. The young people were having difficult time adjusting to his level of dancing. But even if our body is in difficult situation, we can dance in our hearts. But in the assembly of devotees, to chant, to dance for the pleasure of the deities is a very, very purifying and beneficial process by which not only we progress in the ultimate quest of Krishna consciousness, but also we help so many others. And the duties of Varnashram are meant to situate us in a secure and happy position. The pastimes of Krishna can be properly received from devotees if one has developed a little bit of Krishna consciousness by hearing from Vaishnavas about the activities of Krishna. One becomes attached to Vaishnavas who are interested only in Krishna consciousness. If one has developed a little bit of Krishna consciousness by hearing from Vaishnavas about the activities of Krishna, one becomes attached to Vaishnavas who are interested only in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj recommends that one hear about Krishna's childhood activities, which are more attractive than the activities of other incarnations, such as Matsya, Kurma, and Varaha. Wanting to hear more and more from Shukadev Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit requested him to continue describing Krishna's childhood activities, which are especially easy to hear and which create more and more inquisitiveness. Translation. The great King Parikshit has been sitting on the bank of the river Ganga without eating or sleeping for many days. He has left all the worldly pleasures behind to fulfill the true aim of life by absorbing his mind in hearing the subject matter of Krishna. As this sloka is being spoken by Maharaj Parikshit, he has already been sitting there fasting without sleep through the first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto, fifth canto, sixth canto, seventh canto, eighth canto, and ninth canto. Shukadev Goswami is well on his way through the tenth canto. And still Maharaj Parikshit is so eager to hear. He's not thinking, when will you end so I can eat prasad? This is how some people think. How many are thinking like this? Civilized people, living according to the highest principles of ethics, morality, and always trying to keep their minds collectively as well as individually fixed on the real goal of life, the purification of the heart. We come here on Sundays. Some of us come here every day for the purpose of purifying our hearts, learning the science of how to practically live in the service of God at every phase of our existence. The sacred relationships between God brothers and God sisters, brothers and sisters, mothers, fathers, husband, wife, the true glory of those relationships are when they are based on the principle of reality, not illusion. And what is that reality? That the eternal soul, who is the true self, is temporarily in these bodies, and these bodies have some relationship, whatever it may be. So let us dedicate this relationship for the purpose of the real interest of you and me, the soul, which is to be reunited with Krishna through service and devotion. And this is happy life. When people live according to this principle, then naturally the demigods, the higher powers, will supply all necessities of life, whatever is required. The shortages of this world are due to the greed which is born of forgetfulness of our true self. The soul is Atmarama. It is self-satisfied. It does not require anything or anyone for its satisfaction except the remembrance of Krishna. And one who is satisfied in remembering Krishna naturally becomes a selfless servant of every living entity. Why? Because such a person sees that every living entity is part of Krishna, part and parcel, a child, a beloved of Krishna. Therefore, we want to serve everyone selflessly. We will serve our superior Vaishnavas by hearing from them submissively and carrying out their instructions. We will serve our equal Vaishnavas by befriending and assisting one another, walking together on the path of truth, encouraging in every way, and making deep, deep, loving relationships for the purpose of serving Krishna. And we serve those who may come more recent than ourselves, by helping them, by guiding them as a servant, by inspiring them by our example. And those who are in illusion, in ignorance, immersed in materialistic activities, we even want to serve them by somehow or other, by our example and by working together, to elevate their consciousness and bring them closer to Krishna as a servant. And for those who are antagonistic and atheistic, we humbly serve them by avoiding them, so they do not make aparads to God and His representatives. Or if somehow or other we can give them prasad and purify their hearts, some foolish, demoniac people think there is some drugs in prasad. They have no faith in the word of the scriptures. Prasad is the mercy of God. When you offer food to the Lord with faith and devotion, that food is accepted by the Lord through His beloved glance. He injects His causeless mercy. That mercy makes that food spiritually surcharged. And by eating that food, it cleanses our heart, it purifies our mind, it stimulates the desire to serve. It is an antidote to the poison of material culture, which obscures our desire to serve God, which wants us to be the exploiter, the controller, the enjoyer. Prasad is the pure mercy of the Lord. And when someone takes prasad, they are guaranteed a human life in their next birth, even if it is an animal.
Hare Krishna.
Of course, two-legged animals are more difficult to deal with than four-legged animals. But even they become spiritually purified. And when somehow or other people see a change of heart, they think,
ah, what drug have you put in?
All over society, people are taking all kinds of artificial, dangerous drugs. Alcohol is nothing but a dangerous, vicious drug that is destroying the lives of millions in so many ways. And so many other, coffee and tea are drugs. They're addicting drugs, clinically and scientifically established. This is a fact. In India, so many permit rooms of people drinking. People are drinking coffee and tea every day and intoxicating their brains. People are taking many times other types of drugs. And when you give something that's pure, pure, unadulterated mercy of the Lord, fresh vegetarian food with Krishna's grace in it, why you are giving drugs?
Hare Krishna.
Why? Because a little purification, a little desire for truth, a desire for service, a desire for morality wakes up in people's hearts, and people think, this person must be something wrong with him. This person wants to become pure. There's no place for such a crazy man in this society. We should want money. Money is the honey. We should want the things that money can buy, like houses and the pleasures of sex and the growing of a big, big family, and so much furniture and nice cars and nice clothing, ornaments, reputation. This is civilization. But these people, they don't want these things. They want to become pure. They want to serve. They're crazy. This is material consciousness
in Kali Yuga. Hare Krishna.
Human life is simply meant for this purification. And those who are atheistic, give them prasad, but don't tell them it's prasad. Tell them it's a gift in honor of their glorious existence. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati told us how to preach to such people. You put straw between your teeth, which means very humble. When you put straw between your teeth and come before someone, it means you are superior and I am inferior. And you say, oh, my dear sir, you are very great. You are so glorious. and so learned, and I respect you so much. And the person is thinking, yes, this person has seen the light. After Bahunam Janmanamante, after many, many births, you have understood who I really am. They may not say, but we feel like this. You are so, so respectable and so learned. I have come with just one humble request. And the person's heart will already have been melted by so much praise. He will say, yes. What is your request? My request, my dear learned pundit, is you kindly forget all the nonsense you've ever learned in your life. And you take the process of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and loudly chant the holy name. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with this message, a message of compassion, of mercy. He taught us, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadad. We should respect all living beings, and we should expect no respect for oneself. And in this way, we should chant Krishna's holy names. Tomorrow is a very, very important festival, which is appearing just before Gaur Purnima. Gaur Purnima is the most sacred of all days. It is the day of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, anyone who observes this festival of Gaur Purnima and praises the Lord on this day will certainly attain love of Krishna in due course of time, the ultimate perfection of life. Before Lord Chaitanya came to this world, he first sent his eternal associates to prepare the way for his coming. And it is very auspicious because one of the most principal and important of all associates, his disappearance day, is just a few days before Gaur Purnima. So we could worship him and celebrate him and in this way prepare our hearts for the coming of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tomorrow is the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri. You see, Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach by his example how to perfect one's life in devotion to the Lord. He is unique amongst all incarnations. Srila Rupa Goswami prays, Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaura Tveshe Namaha. This beautiful golden avatar is the most merciful, munificent of all incarnations because he is giving what no other avatar has ever given. Pure, unalloyed love of Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan to everyone and anyone freely. The only cost is one's faith and willingness just to be the servant of his servant and chant his holy names. Anyone can chant. And by chanting according to the simple instructions the Lord has given, in this very life, anyone, everyone, despite any material qualifications or disqualifications, can achieve the ultimate perfection of eternal residence in the spiritual world. But Lord Chaitanya appeared in the guise
of his own devotee.
Krishna gave us perfect instructions in Bhagavad Gita. And Shukadeva Goswami taught the absolute truth and the perfect process of achieving it through Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna appears in this world in the role of his own devotee to teach us how to perfect our life. Krishna says in Gita, Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishashi satyam te prati jani piryoshime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage to me. In this way you will come to me without fail. It is my promise, because you are my dear friend. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to always think of Krishna, because Krishna is non-different than his name. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. All the opulences and powers of Krishna are within his name. We can always, in any situation of life, be in the holy presence of Krishna and receive all the power of his protection and purify our lives in his purifying presence. And how difficult it is, with a sincere heart, to just move our tongue and vibrate Krishna's holy name. If you study every teaching of Gita, you will find it practically demonstrated in the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us how to do it. The Gita explains, Evam parampara praptam idam rajarshaya padhu, that we must receive knowledge through disciplic succession. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastatvadarshana. Krishna says, if you want to know the truth, you must approach a spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service to him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. But that guru has to be within disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam idam rajashayavad. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not manifest his divine leela as a devotee of the Lord, nor did he give Krishna consciousness openly until he first approached a bona fide spiritual master in disciplic succession. And that was Srila Ishwara Puri, who is the disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is a most intimate expansion of the supreme pleasure potency of the personality of Godhead. He is a divine being who is descended from the spiritual world. He appeared in the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, but he was the first one in this Sampradaya to reveal through his life and teachings the topmost ecstasies of the conjugal understandings of Sri Radharani and Krishna's divine love of Vrindavan. Previously, none of the acharyas manifested openly this supreme of all spiritual treasures. It is described when Lord Chaitanya sent Madhavendra Puri to this earth. In Madhavendra Puri, he planted the seed
of ecstatic love of Godhead within this material world. And that seed grew. And ultimately, that seed grew into the tree of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there are innumerable fruits of love of God on that tree. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to distribute those fruits profusely to everyone and anyone without consideration of their caste, their color, their religion, their creed, their financial, economic, or social position. Every living being is a spirit soul, part of Krishna. Everyone deserves to go back to their original home. Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That is the simple message of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He is the tree of ecstatic love of God. And his various associates are the branches of that tree, helping him distribute those fruits. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada explains that the International Society for Krishna Conscious is a very special and unique branch in the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But this branch is growing to cover every continent in the world, all the seven islands of this earth planet. This branch is reaching to and offering all living beings the fruits of love of God, inviting everyone to participate in the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Srila Madhavendra Puri was a sannyasi. He was always eager to give Krishna prema to everyone, always tasting the highest ecstasies of pure devotional service. He traveled here and there and everywhere. And it is explained that Madhavendra Puri, he was such an intimate associate of Radha and Krishna that a particular verse that he would chant, only three people in all of existence understood the import of that verse. Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna, in the loving mood of Srimati Radharani, and Madhavendra Puri, his exalted position. It is described that when he would see a blue rain cloud, he would remember Krishna and fall unconscious in ecstasy. He was constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord, immersed in the remembrance of Krishna. Tears would flow from his eyes, his limbs would tremble, his hairs would stand on end. All the ecstatic symptoms of love of God were decorating his beautiful transcendental form. But one who loves Krishna has the great anticipation to always be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. We always want to find the devotees, worship them, glorify them, and serve them. This is the symptom of one who actually is Krishna conscious. To the degree you are Krishna conscious, you will have a spontaneous eagerness and longing to serve Vaishnavas and be in their company. This is one of the tests of how we are actually becoming purified. However, Vaishnava consciousness is just the opposite. Vaishnava consciousness is to always seek to be inferior to someone who is superior. We don't want to compete with Srila Prabhupada. We don't want to become Srila Prabhupada. nor do we want to compete or become a servant of Srila Prabhupada. We simply want to take a subordinate position to be the servant of the great souls who are serving Srila Prabhupada. That is Vaishnava consciousness. So Krishnakas Kaviraj Goswami will not accept any credit for what he is doing. He is giving it all to his superiors. They deserve every bit of glorification for what I am doing. I am simply repeating the message I have heard from them. And that is why we worship Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's lotus feet. That is why all the great acharyas that have come after him consider him such a supreme spiritual master for our whole sampradaya. Because of his humility and his respect for his superiors. This is culture. The Western culture, there's very little respect for superiors. On every level. Srila Prabhupada, even when Brahmananda and Garga Muni, two of his very early disciples, 26 Second Avenue, when they were getting initiated, they invited their mother to the initiation ceremony. And Srila Prabhupada he gave mother a very nice seat to sit on. And Prabhupada greeted her, and he told Brahmananda and Garga Muni to touch her feet and bow down to them. This is unheard of in the American country. I don't think anyone in the history of the United States of America has ever bowed down to their mother or father, what to speak of touching their feet. Simply unheard of. So when they did that, she didn't know what was happening. Prabhupada explained, in our culture, we honor our superiors. I want to teach them to honor their superiors. And this is how we do it, by humbling ourselves. So after that, Brahmananda, every time he would see his mother, he would bow down to her. And he's a big person. Big, big, strong man. His mother was just a little lady, and he'd bow down. Once he went to visit his mother at her house, and she answered the door, and she looked around, she didn't see anybody. Who knocked on my door? She looked down, and there was her son on the ground offering his dandavats. Very unusual. She was ashamed. What will the neighbors think? In India, if you do like this, you'll think, oh, let the whole world see how my child. But in America, what will the neighbors think? Get up fast. They don't know what is this bowing down. One time I was in an airport and two devotees were bowing down to each other. And one of the security guards, very concerned, he got down on the ground. He said, "Did you lose something? Can I help you? Can I help you find it?" What is the use of being athlete? Person is famous because he could run so fast. But a horse can run faster. And cheetahs are even faster. And some people are very, very much famous for jumping very high. But a kangaroo jumps higher. And some people are very famous because they are very good fighters. Boxing, wrestling,
But a tiger or a panther can beat up any of them? Human life is not very good for being a good athlete. The animals are definitely superior in every way. But yet, someone who, in human life, whoever's most like an animal is glorified. But one who is taking humble position, very gentle, very learned in the scripture, very austere, the human society thinks this person has gone crazy. This person is useless. And we teach our children, do not be like that. Go to school and be trained to be an excellent animal. This is called love. Training our children to become animals in their next lives. Competition. Who can be more animalistic? So vidvaraho strakaraya shamshidapurush. Vrindavan.
While he was there, he visited all the 12 forests. And then he circumambulated Govardhan Hill, which is the very heart of Brajbhumi. Srila Rupa Goswami explains, of all the planets within the universe, the earth is the best. Because the Lord appears in so many avatars on this earth. And in the earth planet, Bharatvarsha is the best, India. Because the great Vedic literatures, so many avatars, sages and rishis have appeared here. And of all places in India, Mathura Mandala is the best, because that is the place that the original form of Godhead, Krishna, appeared to Vasudev and Devaki. And of all the places of Mathura Mandala, the forest of Vrindavan is best, because it is in Vrindavan that Krishna, in his eternal form of Shyam Sundar, is engaging in the most intimate loving relationships in five rasas with his devotees, Dasyarathas, the relationship of servant and master, Sakyaras, first neutrality ras, then Dasyaras, then Sakyaras, loving God as an intimate loving friend. Such a deep absorption in Krishna's transcendental qualities that we are not even concerned. Vatsalya Ras, loving Krishna as our own child, and Madhurya Ras, in intimate love, as a lover. And of all places of Vrindavan, forest, Govardhan is the best. Because at Govardhan Hill, the most intimate pastimes between Krishna and his cowherd friends would take place as they'd be herding their cows. And the most loving pastimes between Radha and Krishna and gopis took place. And of all places of Govardhan, Radha Kund is the best. It is the culmination and essence of all holy places. Because that is where the supreme most selfless surrender is offered to Krishna. So Madhavendra Puri circumambulated Govardhan Hill. And at a place called Govinda Kund, he sat. He was fasting all day. And a little boy came and said, "Oh, Madhavendra Puri, Swamiji, I think that you may have been fasting. Here is some milk. I will summarize the story because we have a very special event that is to take place today. So after drinking the milk, the little cowherd boy said, I must go now. I will come back for the pot because my mother is waiting for me and the cows must be milked. So the little boy left and he drank the milk and washed the pot. And then, by Krishna's arrangement, he fell into a transcendental state where he had a dream where that little boy appeared to him and revealed himself as the Supreme Lord Govinda and told him that I have been in a deity form in this forest of Govardhan for a long time. Some time ago, there was a rumor that the Mughal soldiers were coming to attack this village, so the pujari hid me in this place, and then he fled. And I have been here just waiting for Madhavendra Puri to come and serve me with pure love. Please come. And the little boy took him by the hand and took him to the forest and told him, my name is Gopal. I was originally installed by the great grandson of Krishna, Vajranabh. You should install me on the top of Govardhan Hill and have a wonderful abhishek with the waters from Govinda Kund. Then the child, Krishna, in his little cowherd form, disappeared. And Madhavendra Puri, when he woke up, he immediately thought, Krishna came personally to give me milk, and I didn't even recognize him. I didn't even offer him proper respects. His heart was aggrieved with his offense. But then he thought that whatever my heart may say, I must carry out the service of the Lord. However great a person may be, his real life is to serve. So he brought the local people and they came with their choppers and chopped through all the thorns and all the weeds and all the thick, thick forest foliage. And there they saw in the ground beautiful, beautiful deity of Gopal in the form of Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, Giridhari. And Madhavendra Puri, he brought the form of Gopal and made an altar out of the stones of Govardhan Hill, performed wonderful, wonderful abhishek with thousands and thousands of buckets of the clear, pure, sacred waters of Govinda Kund. After this abhishekam, he offered the panchamrita, the panchagavya, so many other precious articles to bathe the Lord. Then fine oils were brought, and he massaged the Lord's body and made it shine so beautiful to attract everyone's heart. The form of Gopal could attract even the mind of Cupid, who is attracting all living beings by the various objects of this material world. And so many people came forward to bring dresses and jewelry. Madhavendra Puri had a fantastic feast performed. Brahmin cooks came, entire villages would bring their entire stock of milk, ghee, grains, vegetables, fruits, and cook everything, mountains and mountains of bhoga offered to Gopal. And after Madhavendra Puri performed arti, he put the deity to rest And then he took just a little tiny bit of prasad himself and distributed profuse mass distribution to everyone and anyone. It was wonderful kirtans. And every village in the area of Brajbhumi near Govardhan Hill, when they heard about this festival, they all came to Madhavendra Puri. We want to do this utsav to Gopal also. Every day there was this anukuta. And soon a beautiful temple was built. And some Bengali Vaishnavas came. Madhavendra Puri initiated them and entrusted them by training them up in the perfect process by which to serve the deity according to the regulative principles. But one day, Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream, told him, "I am still very hot. Please go to the Malaya Hills and get me sandalwood and bring it back for me to make me cool." Now in those times, the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, because samashitaye padapalavaplabam, the goal of life in this world is Vaikuntha. The goal of life is not to try to find happiness in a place where there is danger at every step. We should not be fools trying to find happiness in a fool's paradise. This material world is called the fool's paradise. We're trying to make this world so wonderful by nice, comfortable motor vehicles and very, very luxurious aircrafts and spacecrafts and nice skyscraper buildings and building beautiful gardens and national forests and parks and all sorts of various inventions, computers and tape recorders and televisions and toasters and ovens and stoves and beautiful jewelry and wonderful garments to wear and all sorts of artwork in the museums. There's something for everyone in this fool's paradise. Everyone is trying to find happiness. Everyone is trying to find some meaning and purpose to life in some way or other. But the beginning of knowledge is to understand that it's all meaningless. Unless we understand what is actually the purpose of the creation. The Supreme Absolute Truth, He presented this whole creation with a purpose behind it. And the very beginning of creation, before anything was created by Brahma, the purpose of the creation was manifested to Him by Kunta. Vaikuntha is the goal of life. Nathe vadusvarata katim hi Vishnu. Why? Because Vaikuntha is the abode of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To know Him and to love Him is the only aim which has any reality. Every other goal in life we have is simply chasing after the mirages within this material illusory energy. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the desert there is the mirage, because everyone in the desert is looking for water, because the desert is very dry and very hot and people are very thirsty and their aim in life is water. When you're dying of thirst, you're not thinking about what's in the newspapers today or what's on television today or what the latest gossip is. When you're thirsty, you're thinking of water. And nothing else can satisfy your needs except water. It is a very, very powerful urge. I don't know if any of you have ever been starving of thirst in the desert.
It's really an amazing experience. Some yogis, they actually go to the desert just to starve themselves of thirst to the verge of death, just so that they understand what it is. What is this? The power of thirst. It's unbelievable.
So Srila Prabhupada explains that in this desert of material existence,
human beings, they understand where the water really is, and they give their life for that. Samashitaye padapalabhaplabam mahatpadam bhunya vishomurari.
The real water is in the lotus feet of Murari, Krishna, in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Not in this world where there is padam padam yadvi padam natesham, danger at every step. But those who are not humans, those who are animals, they keep seeing these mirages, and they keep chasing after one mirage after another. Birth after birth after birth. Some animals have four legs and some have two legs.
Did Krishna in so many ways. Krishna liberated him by his great mercy, but he did not exhibit such extraordinary anger. But because Hiranyakashipu was persecuting, harassing his devotee, he became so angry. He became the very personification of supreme anger. He could not tolerate these injustices to his devotee. His anger was so great that he did not just kill Hiranyakashipu in a clean way by just with his Sudarshan Chakra cutting head. He was so angry, he wanted to just make a totally gruesome, bloody mess out of that demon. And that he did. And he was roaring, and his eyes were hot as coal. The sight of him caused utter fear in everyone's hearts. After Hiranyakashipu was dead, all of the great demigods and all the great sages, they were relieved. It was like a cancerous tumor being removed from the body. And they all began to approach Lord Nrsimhadev by offering wonderful, suitable prayers. But even despite the prayers of all of these great gods, Lord Nrsimhadev's anger was not pacified. They were all offering their prayers from a distance. No one dared come near him. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva were scared to death of this form. They could not approach him. They asked Lakshmi Devi, his eternal consort, that you please pacify your Lord. We cannot tolerate seeing him in this mood of utter anger. And Lakshmi Devi, upon seeing this most extraordinary form possessed of such rage, she could not even recognize him. Lakshmi Devi herself was afraid to approach him. In this way, Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, and all the great devatas, they were afraid of the Lord. And here we find Lord Brahma. He is approaching Prahlad, who is just a 5-year-old child. Prahlad, Lord Nrsimhadev, is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease him. Of course, we know Lord Brahma was the Param Guru of Prahlad Maharaj. Brahma initiated Narada, and Narada initiated Prahlad. So upon hearing the words of his Gurudev, Prahlad Maharaj
although only a tiny little boy, accepted Brahma's words. And gradually, he proceeded toward Lord Nrsimhadev and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands. Prahlad was able to do what no one else could do. Lord Brahma is the most intelligent, the most wise. Lord Shiva, most powerful. Indra, Vayu, Surya, they are such powerful gods with such incredible intellects, with so much massive power and wealth and prestige. Prahlad had no power of his own. He was a tiny little boy. He was only in the first standard of school. He didn't know much as far as academic education. How is it that he was able to approach the Lord fearlessly? But the little tiny fish living within the river can go upstream, downstream, across stream, anywhere without the slightest inconvenience. What is the difference between the elephant and the fish in physical strength? There is absolutely no comparison. But the fish has a quality which gives him more power than the elephant in the water. The elephant does not know how to take shelter of the river. But the fish has learned to completely take shelter of the river. Therefore, he's free and liberated within that river. In the same way, all of these great asuras like Hiranyakashipu, who conquered the entire universe, they were instantly destroyed by Nrsimha Bhagavan. And all of the great demigods who are purely in the mode of goodness, with all their power, strength, and wisdom, they could not approach the Lord. But Prahlad, like that little fish, helpless, with no good qualities of his own to speak of materially, but he had taken complete shelter of the Lord with innocence and faith. And therefore, he could fearlessly approach him. When this small boy prostrated at the soles of Nrsimhadev's lotus feet, Nrsimhadev touched Prahlad with his hand upon his head, and immediately Nrsimhadev became completely pacified, became gentle, peaceful. This is the power of pure devotional service. It is by the divine will of the Lord he agrees to be conquered by the love of his devotee. Hiranyakashipu conquered the entire universe. Nrsimhadev conquered Hiranyakashipu and all the Rakshasas. And our little Prahlad conquered Nrsimhadev by his love, by his bhakti, devotion. This is the supreme power of bhakti. Krishna's name is Bhaktavatsal, which means he is always favorable toward his devotees. In fact, he is always subordinate to the love of his devotees. And Prahlad Maharaj, he begins to speak to Lord Nrsimhadev in ecstatic love. And the first words he speaks are those of his own humble nature. He's saying, how is it possible for me? I'm born in a family of asuras. I'm a demon. How will I offer suitable prayers to you? The greatest intellects and all of the gods have already offered their prayers. Prahlad next to them is considering himself completely disqualified. How will I offer prayers to you, my lord? All of these great gods headed by Lord Brahma and all these saintly persons, they could not satisfy you with streams of prayers, which are being completely in the modes of goodness. Then what is to say of me? I am not at all qualified. Srila Prabhupada in this purport explains that this is the nature of a true Vaishnava. He always considers himself unqualified.
And suffering in this world. So in this material existence, whoever we are, these threefold miseries is keeping us in a condition of imminent suffering. And those who are wise understand the suffering condition of this material world. And those who are utterly ignorant are under the illusion that they can make an arrangement for permanent happiness in this world. So the wise people, they are simply calling out for Krishna to give us shade from the scorching fire of material existence.
Chitram prajapatyam cha Brahman chatha brihatatha Vartha sanchaya shalina Shiloncha iti vaigrihe.
Then this thread ceremony for the twice born was inaugurated, as were the rules to be followed for at least 1 year after acceptance of the Vedas, rules for observing complete abstinence from sex life, vocation in terms of Vedic injunctions, various professional duties in household life, and the method of maintaining a livelihood without anyone's cooperation by picking up rejected grains. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. During student life, brahmacharis were given full instructions about the importance of the human form of life. Thus, the basic education was designed to encourage the student in becoming free from family encumbrances. Only students who were unable to accept such a vow in life were allowed to go home and marry a suitable wife. Otherwise, the student would remain a permanent brahmachari, observing complete abstinence from sex life for his whole life. It all depended on the quality of the student's training. We had the opportunity to meet an avowed brahmachari in the personality of our spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Goswami Maharaj. Such a great soul is called a Naishtika brahmachari. In this chapter from Srimad Bhagavatam, we are studying the narration of Sri Maitreya Rishi to Vidura on the subject of how Lord Brahma was created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how the Lord specifically empowered Brahma as the secondary creator within this particular universe. And step by step, it is explained how the sequence of creation is taking place. Not only what Brahma creates, but also various realizations and experiences that he undergoes in the process of creation. This is the beauty. Attached from the pleasures of the world to that degree, we can actually repose our attachment in Krishna. Otherwise, our mind is many-branched. We have so many obstacles standing before the path of complete attachment to the Lord. So the whole purpose of society is detachment from enjoyment and attachment to humble service. And therefore, Krishna, the supreme cause of all causes, along with this creation, through the Creator, manifested within this world the various processes by which we can purify our hearts and make spiritual advancement. Therefore, Lord Brahma created the thread ceremony for the twice-born. Very, very important. The twice-born or Brahmins are meant to be leading society on the path of truth and realization. A society without trained and qualified Brahmins is like a body without a head. It can give no proper direction. And without that direction, there can be no possibility of peace or progress in the pursuit of human existence. And he created the rules to be followed for 1 year after acceptance of the Vedas, the rules for celibacy. He created the vocations in terms of the Vedic injunctions and the various professional duties of a householder. He created the renounced order, the householder life. He created the Varnashram system by which everyone living together as a society has particular duties to be performed for the purpose of detaching ourselves from those things that are unfavorable for Krishna consciousness and attaching ourselves to those things that are favorable for Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explains in this very wonderful purport that human life is meant for renunciation of material enjoyment. Therefore, at the beginning of one's life, one is ideally to be trained as a student brahmachari, where one really becomes situated in one's life on the foundation of not giving in to the desires and the demands of the minds and the senses. From the very beginning, approximately 5 years old, we're taught how to say no to the mind and the senses. And then Srila Prabhupada explains, if one is, thus the basic education was designed to encourage the student in becoming free from family encumbrances. Does anyone know what an encumbrance is? Huh? encumbrance, in the context that Prabhupada says it, you can know what it means even if you do not know what the word means. It means, essentially, the hardships, the struggles, and the bondage. Now, if one is trained properly and one enters into grihastha life, one is not so much bound by these encumbrances. If Krishna is in the center, if there's proper association, if there's proper sadhana, then we can transcend the encumbrances that are around us.
If we really wanted to help others, they didn't care for their own profit, adoration, or distinction. They wanted to help people who are suffering. That was the motivation for anyone to take to the medical field. It was generally the Brahmins. And they would never accept any pay for the services that they would offer. That is the origin of the medical field, both in the East and the West. In India, the Ayurveda, there was surgery in all things, medicines, and it was Brahmins. They never charged fees. They would simply do it out of compassion because they wanted to help people, because they hated to see people suffering. And they themselves would live very simple lives. They didn't care for anything. They just wanted to help out. It was a sacrifice. There was no consideration of prestige or profits. It was only a seva, a service. This is how the medical field went on for thousands and thousands of years here in India. And it worked a lot better than what people are doing today. And in the West, the Greeks, the Romans, what is that one oath that most doctors take? Hippocrates. What is the oath? Does anybody know it?
I did not do that. But you are saying, I will not wait for a hospital. I will not give a
space. I take care of the soul of the person, right from the conception till the.
The Hippocrates oath is completely free of any tinge of profit, adoration, or distinction. The spirit of that oath is that you're actually sacrificing your life for the welfare of humanity. Is it not? This was what every doctor would do. But in this day and age, our society is so polluted, so perverted, and so corrupt that people take to medicine without the slightest concern of compassion for others. They just do it with a concern for selfish profit and distinction, glamour. Huh? It's like in the Western world, in America, there's all sorts of soap operas centered around life in hospitals. I don't know if you've heard about it. Remember when we were children? Yeah, crazy things.
It's still
happening. All these serial on television shows of all the romances and all of the intrigues that take place behind the doors of the operating room. And it's like something glamorous. It's all nonsense. You should not be in the medical field for these things. It's simply maya. It's simply illusion. You should be in the medical field because it is a wonderful way that you can help the suffering of humanity, and it's a wonderful way to serve God. It's so immoral to take a profession in the name of helping people to serve your own greed. Simple living, I think. Through your spiritual progress, you should be content with a simple life, and you should use your skills to help others. But yes, most of the students today, they are simply greedy.
Things that happen by chance are chaotic, not organized. We have never seen in our history, in our own experience, anything happening by chance that is systematic and organized.
Which will undoubtedly be an extended kirtan. Then there will be Ekadasi feast served. The next day is Jagannath Mishra's Utsav. The narrations will continue at Srimad Bhagavatam class. This is on Saturday, and in the afternoon there will be big feast, Jagannath Mishra feast. Should we have afternoon or evening? The cooks say evening. So the big feast will be in evening. That is the actually the real Gaur Purnima feast. And anyone who misses this feast please come and partake of this nice feast. Then Sunday morning we will continue narration. Saturday night, Saturday evening at 6:30, it will continue. And then again Sunday, and Sunday program, we will continue the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. And then after the big feast next Sunday, we will have Nagar Harinam Sankirtan through the streets of Bombay as the culmination of our 5-day Gaur Purnima festival. Well, please all prepare yourselves by chanting very attentively and hearing the glories of the Lord. Because on these holy days, especially such a day as Gaur Purnima, it is our great aspiration to offer our body, mind, words, and life at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the servant of the servant of his servants. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada as such an intimate, loving servant of his Guru Maharaj, dedicated his life to fulfill the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In parampara, Lord Chaitanya's desire was to give every human being the opportunity of perfecting their existence through Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, and Hari Puja. Lord Chaitanya said there's only three things: worship Krishna, hear about Krishna, chant his holy names. That's all. Srila Prabhupada gave these three principles to the world. One of the beginning stages of his efforts to carry out his Guru Maharaj's desire while living in Vrindavan, he began the publication of Back to Godhead magazine. Before even beginning writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, he began his journal, Back to Godhead. He wrote the articles, edited the articles,
type the articles. He had to raise the money for the paper and the printing. He had to carry to Delhi. And then he was the only distributor of the magazine. Every single phase he did personally, out of his great love and dedication to his Guru Maharaj's desire to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's mission. Srila Prabhupada said, Back to Godhead was the backbone of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And when he came to the West, he asked his disciples to continue the publication and distribution of Back to Godhead magazine. And in the beginning days, there were hardly any books. Practically the only service of everyone in every ISKCON temple was just to go out in the streets and distribute Back to Godheads. Millions were being distributed. Gradually, Srila Prabhupada, his books, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Ishopanishad, Upadeshamrita, Teachings of Queen Kunti, Teachings of Lord Kapiladev, so many small books were printed. And Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on the distribution of his books, but at the same time, Back to Godhead magazine was the magazine of the Hare Krishna movement, which he considered so vital and sacred to his service to his Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada wanted Back to Godhead to be translated and distributed in all languages of the world. The place where Srila Prabhupada, after he left Vrindavan, he came to Bombay, Maharashtra, to actually facilitate for his worldwide preaching mission. It was from Bombay that Srila Prabhupada left for America. It's where his facilities were given. Srila Prabhupada had great desire. People all over the world become Krishna conscious. And this day, when we are celebrating Madhavendra Puri's disappearance, is the day that the devotees of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple are inaugurating Back to Godhead magazine in Marathi language. The devotees came together, write the articles, translate other articles, to lay it out, to do every bit of the work under the transcendental divine guidance of His Holiness Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj. And many devotees work very hard to print this magazine. And so many hundreds of devotees of our congregation have gone out to sell subscriptions to the magazine. In 1 month, how many? In 1 month, devotees from the temple sold 7,000 subscriptions to Marathi Back to Godhead magazine. So today we would like to offer the first magazine off the press at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.